Hello, parents. Welcome to the Masterful Parenting Podcast. I'm Ann Alvarez, parent coach, school counselor, and mom of two. Do you struggle with your relationship with your kids because you carry childhood pain? Do you get triggered by your child's behavior, become irrational, and maybe even yell at your children? Maybe you want to be a better parent, but you don't know how. Instead of repeating old patterns, you want to heal your pain, become more aware of your child's needs, feel connected to your kids, and learn the tools to communicate better so you can truly enjoy your parenting. If you are ready to heal your childhood pain, raise healthy, connected, and happy kids, and end the cycle of parenting with pain, then join me. Our kids deserve it, and we can do this. Let's go. Hello, parents. Welcome to the Masterful Parenting Podcast and Show. I have a special guest. He's here for round two. His name is Jesse Swede. Welcome, Jesse.
Thank you, Anne. It's great to be here. Second time. It's
Yeah,
exciting.
fellow parent coach. Jesse and I are going to talk about the teenage years.
Yes,
Okay,
the
so
teenage years.
the teenage years. Okay, so Jesse, tell me, why do you think parents struggle so much with the teenage years?
Yeah, that's a good question. And just a little background on me. I've been a teacher. I have 17 years teaching experience. And something unique about me with the teens is I enjoyed teaching the teenage classes. Once I got experience as a teacher, and teaching teenage classes is not something a lot of teachers enjoy. It's not something that a lot of teachers would raise their hands to teach like 13, 14-year-old classes. That's not to say it wasn't a challenge, and we're going to get into the challenges of them, but I like that challenge. I like the challenge, and like I got them. And I like to say I speak, I'm like a teenage whisperer almost. Like I don't, not that I'm like, yo, but I get them. I empathize with them. And that's ultimately, so to go to answer your question, I think it comes down to that, comes down to empathy. I think a lot of parents struggle with the teenage years because as much as we like to say, I've been there too. I remember what it's like as a teenager. I don't think a lot of people do. I don't think a lot of people remember like the lonely feelings that it was as a teenager, the lost feelings, the feelings that everyone, it's a weird thing, like everyone's looking at me, but at the same time I'm invisible. Does that make sense? And I remember those feelings very much, especially as I was going into the high school. I'd walk in the morning with like hundreds of kids walking at the same time, and I would just every day I'd go in thinking, you could not pay me enough money to go back and live these teenage years again in high school. Like
That's
that
so funny. I
money
feel that
doesn't
too.
exist. What?
I feel exactly the same way you do. I would never go back to the teenage years. Like,
Never,
it was a
never.
hard time,
That
you
much
know?
money doesn't exist.
I don't
Like,
know, like,
yeah, it was
for
a
me.
hard time. And I think a lot of parents, like, combined with really forgetting that part to be empathetic, combined with just trying so hard to do a good job. And that's, I think, something that I would like to encourage parents to like not try so hard to do a good job. In that, let me do a little experiment. Like, I want you to try, and you can do this. Everyone listening can do this. I want you to try so hard. Don't think of a purple giraffe. Like, don't. Don't. You see what I mean? Like,
It's
and
there. I can't
it's there. I can't help it. So a lot
it.
of parents are like, I try so hard to be a gentle parent, or I try so hard to have patience, where like doing that, it sounds good, but you're almost pushing it away as you're trying, because you're trying not to be triggered, but at the same time, the trigger is right on the top of your mind, right? And teams know how to push buttons.
What do you remember about the teenage years? Like, what was hard for you?
Well, it wasn't hard for me, man. Like not really feeling like I fit in. That was one. Not wanting to go to school, but not really knowing why. Not knowing what I wanted. Not like feeling like everyone else had it figured out, but I didn't. There was some secret sauce that other kids knew that I didn't. Things like that.
Yeah, I think like for me, I was really emotional. Like I understand the teenage years being emotional because I was really emotional. Like little things were big things in my head. And when I couldn't, like I wasn't allowed to do things, I would like cry in the bathroom, right? I remember like trying to figure out where my place was because I didn't really fit in with the nerds because I wasn't like an A student, right? And then I didn't really fit in with the rough kids, like the smokers and the. And I was like, where do I fit? Where am I? Where am I? Right?
I
So
was the
I
same way.
So I just didn't know, like, where was I? I ended up actually being more with the nerds.
Okay.
I did try to be in the cool group.
I didn't even know what it would look like to be in the cool group. I was a wrestler, so I had like I was had an okay relationship with like the jocks, I guess we could say. I had an okay relationship. I didn't, it's not like I was bullied and I didn't bully. I was just invisible. Like I didn't go party, I didn't drink, so I didn't like while I was a jock, I didn't, that was in the practice room outside, and we didn't really have a relationship. And so yeah, I was
I
kind of
know.
lost.
So I guess that's why like we can have empathy because we didn't know where we were like as teenagers, where our place was, and we were trying to figure that out, right? And so I think what you said about parents need to have empathy and like remember what it was like if you had that experience. Like maybe some parents didn't have that experience and they're like, you should figure it out. Like, what's wrong with you? I'm not sure,
Yeah,
but
maybe. And maybe it's that, and tell me what you think. Maybe it's that parents, maybe they did have that experience, but as parents, we want better for our kids than we had. And we don't want our kids to suffer that much too. And but we don't know how to guide them out of it. We don't know how to, so it's just like, get up and go to school. And then we get on those cycles that we learned that we were programmed with, because when we're triggered, when our emotional buttons are pushed and when we are stressed and pressure's high, then our triggers are very sensitive. And then when we're triggered, we're not exactly thinking the most rationally either.
That's true. That's very true. And you actually need more patience. I always say the toddler years and the teenage years are the hardest. And you need the most patience in those years, right? But also, I tell parents this as a school counselor, I say it's the time when our kids need the most connection. Because it's not easy. Developmentally, it's not easy to be a toddler. Developmentally, it's not easy to be a teenager. So it's
Especially
when,
now, I think now even more than ever with social media.
talk about that. I want to get into that.
Yeah, I mean, back when we were kids, back in our day, back when we were kids, like if imagine if I felt lost at school. When I go home, I was a part of the church group, Martial arts was a part of my life. I went there, like I could leave school at school. And then when I wake
Yes.
up at 7, then this is gonna suck and whatever. But like I could leave it at school. But
Yeah.
now, like with our phones and with social media and
Yeah.
with WhatsApp groups, if they have them, or with Instagram, like you have kids, they can
Snapchat.
take a fig, yeah, take a photo of
Snapchat.
you
Yeah.
and then edit it to, put like, I don't know, like a pig nose or whatever, and then
Yeah.
send it around school.
Yes.
You could be not only not excluded from the party Saturday night, but then you're in a chat group, I'd imagine, I don't know, but you're
Yeah.
in a chat group where people are talking about that party that you're not involved in. So there's
Yeah.
almost no escape for that.
Yeah, it is. It's way more challenging now because of social media. Like, there's a lot of problems with social media with my teenagers in that I work with in high school, and it's a real problem. I don't know. I just feel like okay. So I have a teenager. He's 14, and he was on this group chat, and because I'm a relational parent, he shares everything with me, right? So he tells me these things, and I didn't even have to say anything. I was just like, like, do you think it's actually good to be talking about other people that way? Because he would be saying, oh, they were dissing this person or dissing that person. And then I just put the question out there, Jesse. That's it. I didn't give him a lecture, nothing. And then the next day, he's like, oh, mom, I got off that chat. I said, oh, how come? He's like, I don't want to listen to all that,
Yeah.
garbage kind
Oh,
of thing.
that's awesome.
I was so proud of him.
That's
I
a
did, and I
win.
did. Sorry, but
That's a
that's a.
win.
I know.
Yeah.
And here, that's the thing, is that you don't have to tell. You just have to ask the question to get them thinking about it, and
Yeah.
then the seed is there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's so much more powerful because then they make the decision.
Exactly.
And
Exactly.
that's so empowering. That's another great thing to take away is that like people don't like to be told what to do, especially teenagers who know everything,
Of
and
course.
that's a
And
common,
we don't know
that's a common
anything.
thing. Yeah. So like parents, like we can always say like teenagers, and I'm sure I will be in the same, I'll have this same things come to my mind and come to my mouth too. Like
Yeah.
they think they know everything. Well, okay.
Yeah.
Well, what if we used that like against them, but really it's for them to lead them to come to the right decision rather than like be combative about it.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. Exactly. Okay. So, there's a difference, right, between like 13 and like 17, 18, right? So, I want to just talk about like parents who are in fear mode, and they don't allow their. Oh, I have to. Jesse, I have to stop for a second. Hold on. I have to just pause because I got someone at the door.
Okay.
So much happening here. Okay, hold on, pause. Yeah, I'm just wondering, like, with the teenage years, like, your parenting is different, right? From the age of 13 to a 17-year-old. Like, how does your parenting change over the teenage years? What do you think?
Oh, I mean, let me start this by saying, like, I don't know because I'm not there. But so something I've learned that before I became a parent, I knew a lot more about parenting than I do now. But with that said, with my experience with teenagers, how I see teenagers thinking from 13 to 17 is a lot different. So 13, they're just kind of like entering this adolescence age. They're entering like, puberty with their bodies doing all these weird things.
Yeah.
I remember 13 was probably my least favorite. It was
Yeah.
terrible. I couldn't wait to get to 14. Because you can't drive,
Yeah.
you can't go out on your own. You're not really independent at all. Whereas 17, most of the time you can. At least your friends might have a car in the United States or in probably Canada too. And you have a little bit more independence, which that puts a lot more pressure because then if you like some people, they don't have friends who can drive or they don't have many friends. What do we do in that case? I don't know. What do we do in that case? Because I
I don't
see
know, like,
that in groups sometimes. Like my son doesn't have any friends. Like, what do I do?
okay, so the friendship thing is tricky because you want to empower them, not make them feel victimized, right? So I do feel like if you're having a child that's diff that has difficulty making friends, then you need to expose them socially. Like you played sports, right? So like if you are out playing sports or part of other clubs, then that's going to help you with the social piece at school, right? But if you're not, if you're very isolated, and then you're very insecure about yourself, then it's going to be really hard to make friends. That's a conversation. You're like, honey, I'm worried that you don't have any friends. How come? What's going on? Can you join some clubs at school? Right? How do you talk to people? Do you say hello? Like, or are you always looking down? Like, what are you doing? People want to be around people that feel good, happy, energetic. Is that the way you are at school? Things like that, like having a conversation.
And
But
that's
like
hard
it,
to change.
yeah.
You know,
It
that's
might be
hard to change.
you're just shy, right? Like you can have shy kids,
For sure.
but then you have to fill them up at home. You have to give them confidence at home. So, because then it translates, it does actually translate at school eventually, right?
Yeah,
But
blaming. Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
the thing that I find with parents is that if you're very protective of your kids, and I grew up this way, right? I had very protective, overly protective parents. And you're not allowing them more and more freedom as they're getting older, then that stifles them, right? Like by 17, they should be pretty well, like for the most part, independent. Like they can take the bus, they can go out with their friends without you. Like even at 13, you can start that. But some parents are not like that. Like I have teenagers, they're 17, and they're like, my mom won't let me take the bus. I'm not allowed to go anywhere without my brother. That was my upbringing. I couldn't go anywhere without my brother. Things like that. So that's what concerns me is like that we're not encouraging more and more freedom as they're getting older.
And sheltering does not, help anything really. And I would say even like my kids are 8 and 6, like even at that age, even at toddler ages, of course there's a little, they're sheltering and protecting. Well, there's protecting, but sheltering, like I never stop my kids from doing stuff that could hurt them a little bit. You know what I mean? And I don't know, that might be a bad sound bite, but they're
You can
allowed to
jump off
fall.
that cliff. It's
Yeah,
okay.
just jump on. It's only 4 feet. But yeah, I'd allow them to crawl climb up, and then I'd make sure they didn't fall down. Or like I remember one time my daughter was maybe 2. And she was like starting to walk around, and she goes under the stool. We had this high sitting stool, and she puts one leg inside the stool. And I was like, hey, that can fall down and then it can hurt you. And she looked back at me like, I'm gonna do it, that kind of look, And I stayed on the couch and I was like, all right, do it. and see what happens. And she's like, no. And like you could see her processing, like, no, it's not worth it. And but the thing is, like, if she went under there, like, of course, I would have gone up and, you know, made sure it didn't fall down on her head. But, you know, like, we weren't really into childproofing our house. Like, I didn't put those door stoppers on. We had a sliding glass door, and I figured, like, she's not strong enough to slam her fingers in the door to cause pain. Like, it'll close, you know, and which happened. And there are those, like, soft, you know, cushiony things on the end, the sealant. So, like, she's, and it scared her and she cried. And then you go to her and say, oh, it's okay. Look at this. And then you make her feel safe. But, like, I'm a big believer in like they're gonna learn from a little bit of pain, you know?
Like we can't bubble wrap them, you know, and like
That
here's
does
the
more
thing.
harm.
Because then they're going to be scared of everything, right? And you don't want to raise children that are fearful, because then they're never going to live fully, you know. So I think it's okay. And especially, okay, so here's my thing. With teenagers, they will tell us that they're ready. Okay, I remember, okay, Jesse, that you're gonna go through this, okay? But I remember my oldest, he's 24 now, but when he was 16, he said, Mom, I want to go on this trip to Victoria. Now that's a ferry ride away, right? And I want to go with his friend. I want to go with Brian. And I was like, Jane, I don't really want you to go. And then he's like, oh, well, I wasn't going to tell you because I had a feeling you'd say no. Oh, and that scared me. I was like, don't ever withhold information from me, because if anything happened to you, I would not forgive myself. And I said, okay, let's talk about it. So I said, can you give me an itinerary? What is it going to look like? What time you're leaving? All the things. So he planned it all out. He gave me an itinerary, what time he was leaving, what ferry he was catching, when he was coming home, all of that stuff. And I was scared, of course. You know, I came from parent fear, so I was scared. But I let him go, and I just made sure he had his phone so he could text me. And then when he got to the Parliament buildings, he said, oh, Mom, I made it to the Parliament buildings. And he was super excited. And then after he came home, he just loved it. He had such a good time, and he had so much confidence. Like, actually, that was the time I saw him grow in
That's
his
awesome.
confidence. You know, and I when I was on the Prosper show, he was talking about in his culture how there is like a rite of passage, like coming out of childhood into adult life. And he says that's kind of what happened. And I was thinking, yeah, when our kids are telling us I'm ready, we can't stop them. We have to let them do it, you know, with cautions. Like I took precautions. I said, tell me what time. So I just thought I knew where he was going, but I let him do it.
That's awesome. Yeah, and their experience is so much growth in those times, right?
He has confidence I never had, because I didn't stifle his growth.
Yeah, that's what it does, doesn't it? It stifles your growth when they're ready to explore, like that rite of passage thing that so many cultures have that we don't really have in the
No,
Western world.
I really like it. It's I don't know, it speaks to me, you know. And working with teenagers, they're always complaining their parents don't let them do things. Oh, and they say, oh, you're not mature enough. But like, how do they get there if they're not given opportunity, right?
That's just it. And you're not mature enough. Well, how can I become mature? How can I show you? You know, you don't show me because you don't pick up your socks from the floor. It's like those are not really equivalent there,
Not
you
the
know?
same. Okay, so what do you think? How do you think parents should deal with teenage rebellion?
That's a good question. I think One part of it, probably to go back to our first conversation, is like to remember what it was like, you know? And I think not take it personally. It's probably not, unless you are super overprotective and it is kind of like a resistance to the way you've raised them, that could be it too. And that's some other internal work to explore. Maybe this is because I, and that's really hard to admit, something that we've caused this rebellion. But then repair, you know, repair, redo what it takes to repair. And if it wasn't you, and if it is just the natural order of things, like understand that's what it is. Like teens are going to rebel. That's, it's kind of like it's supposed to happen
Yeah, it's part of
almost.
their development.
Yeah. They have to explore, like, is what you taught me this, you know, growing up, is that true? Like, I need to find this out, you know? So understand that it's that. And again, if you're in a situation, I understand it. It feels a lot different, but like, that's part of us as being mature adults is to understand and be able to separate the emotion from it, from the logical, rational mind of it. Right. So I think a lot of it, exploring ourselves, what is causing this resistance? Why do I feel so bad about this? What is it causing in me? What's it triggering in me that I feel this way about this natural rebellious behavior? Is it something I did? Let me explore that. Is it not something I did? Why do I feel so bad? So I'd say, like, explore ourselves.
You really are a firm believer in parenting from the inside out, right?
Yeah. I'm a firm believer of doing everything from the inside out, the more that I grow. Yeah.
Think that's so good because I think a lot of parents, they look at their child's behavior and they think, what's wrong with him or what's wrong with her? That it's their issue, their problem.
Yeah.
Something's going on with them, right? And then we don't look at, okay, what am I doing that's contributing or causing or creating conflict,
Yeah,
right?
and I think I wonder if a lot of the times it's what's wrong with them, but how it reflects on me. Now I look like a bad parent, or I, people are going to think about, you know, about me that I'm a bad parent. What are people going to think about me? Unfortunately, I think, you know, I wonder if that's where it comes from a lot of the time.
I know. I remember I just answered a question this morning from the parenting group, and this mom was really concerned about other people, what other people were saying, what other people are saying, but your son is telling you he doesn't want to see his dad who hasn't been in his life.
Yeah.
But other people are telling you that you need to make it happen. So, like, my response was, you listen to your child. Like, why are you caring about what other people think? Your child is the most important. And they are telling you. They're telling you how they feel. And if we don't listen to that, then they don't feel safe with us. They won't
Yeah.
trust us with the big things, right? We have to listen to what they're feeling and what their experiences are. And we don't force
Yeah.
them to do things that they're
Yeah, I
not
answered a
comfortable to
similar
do.
question about a mother-in-law, you know, in a group. Yeah. And I'm gonna play devil's advocate. I'm with
Yes,
you.
do.
Like
Sorry,
a
do.
devil's advocate might say, like, oh, well, we should just let them do anything they want. Where do I draw the line? You know, things like that. What would you say to that pushback? And then I can give my ideas too.
So I would say as parents, we're always looking at what's best for our children, right? And if they are doing something that we know is not good for them, then we're going to have a conversation with them, right? We're going to say, I'm worried about you vaping at school, right? Like, why are you vaping? What's going on? Like, I'm worried about your health. I'm worried about long-term effects. Like, you explain to them. And if you're relational with them, if you have built up the, I call it the emotional bank account. If you have built up that emotional bank account, they're going to listen. The next time they vape, they're going to remember that conversation. They're going to be like, oh, yeah, mom cares about me. And she's worried that it's going to have long-term health effects, something like that, right? I know this because this is what I do with my own children. And I know this working with teenagers. The way I try to get them to change is by, first of all, showing that I care about them. You know, I care about you, right? And then I explain, maybe, do you think that's a really good decision? What do you think? And get them to think about their actions, right? I don't tell, I never tell. But I express concern and care, and then I will say, do you think that that's a wise decision to do what your friend's doing? How does that help
I
you in
love
your
that.
life?
Do you think that's a wise decision? That's a great sentence pattern. Actually, I'm going to go live here in about 15 minutes and I'm going to add that. I'm going over 10 harmful sentence patterns that parents don't realize are harmful, but they say. And then 10 or 12 healthy sentence patterns. I think I'm going to that one. Do you
Oh,
think
good.
that do you
Okay.
think that's a wise decision?
You answer.
Yeah.
What you think?
So, yeah, listen to your children's feelings, and I'll agree to everything you said, and then I'll even add whatever your child decides, it's not set in stone that it's going to be forever. Two,
Yes.
understand that it's like these things change.
Yes.
And like you said, you're building trust. So if this week or this month they don't want to go to see their dad, maybe he wasn't present for a lot of their lives. Maybe he, is domineering. Maybe they, for whatever reason, they don't have a close connection with him. Whatever. Like, listen to that. And guess what? It'll change. It could change.
100%.
I just shared a beautiful story. I reshared it. A friend on Facebook shared his as an adult. He became reconnected with his father. He reached out to his father. They were estranged and separated for, I don't know, decades. And he reached out and shared. And now they have a beautiful relationship, restarting from the adult years. Not
Yes.
saying it always takes that long, but
Yeah.
it happens. It's not a permanent decision. Even if you
If you
listen to your
listen to your
child, you're not letting your child run the show. What a lot of people would probably hear that as saying, you're not letting your child run the show. I would argue that taking a domineering approach and what I say goes, that's letting them run the show. You're not running the show. If they're
Yes.
not, then your triggers are. So
Yes.
either you're letting them lead because you're leading from behind in this case, which is perfect. Or
Yeah.
you're letting your triggers run the show, in which case you have no control.
Exactly. Yes. Like we're leaders, right? We're parent leaders. We're not dictators.
Right. We shouldn't
Right?
be,
We should not be.
shouldn't be.
Yeah.
That's not a leader. That's not a leader people want to follow. That's a leader people have to follow, despite what they think and feel.
Yeah. So
That's one of my
awesome.
programs, the parent leadership.
Yeah. Okay, I know you gotta go. Thank you, Jesse. It's always so great to talk to you.
Thank you, Anne. I loved it. Thank you,
I
and thank
loved
you to your audience.
it. Okay, can we just do a quick takeaway? I like to do this with parents. Okay, so
Okay.
parents, we're gonna talk about empathy in the teenage years. Remember what it was like. Remember how hard it was, right? And they're confused and trying to fit in and trying to figure out who they are. So we have to develop empathy for them, show empathy for them. And also we're going to be looking at ourselves, like what are our triggers, looking like parenting from the inside out, right? So we understand how do we make things better or what are we bringing in there that's damaging to our kids? And then be open to repairing when we're wrong, when we're doing things.
And try to listen to their feelings, right? And have the conversation that will hopefully move them in a good direction, right? Always expressing love and care. That is the takeaways from this show.
Yes, one more.
Come on, tell me.
And also know that their behavior is not reflective on you as a parent.
Right.
Good or bad. It's all about them. It's all about them and their lives, and it's not reflective on you. And if people do have judgments and opinions on you, you're gonna bleep this out. But to quote my dad, who gives a fuck what they think?
It's okay. It's an adult show. We're okay. So true. Stop living for other people, right? I'm with you. I'm with you. All right. Thank you, Jesse. Thank
Thank
you,
you.
parents.
Thank
We'll see
you.
you next time. Okay,
Bye-bye.
bye.
If this podcast inspired, blessed, or changed you in any way, I would love for you to share this with your family and friends on your Instagram page and tag me at Masterful Parenting and join my Masterful Parenting Facebook page or DM me for more parenting support. And I will meet you here real soon. Remember, be relational with your kids and you will see a change. Love to all you parents out there. Let's change the world one parent at a time.